comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. We are here because you have a right to know, and we're here because you matter. Quick note about our members community. We do have a seminar coming up. It will be live on our TV channel in the members community. And it's called Angels, Nephilim, and Anunnaki. If you wish to be a part of that, you need to be a member. And you can be. It's only $7.50 per month. Now, that's 25 cents a day. That's all it takes. You join, and you can be a part of that. The announcement for the date and time and all the details, well, it's in the announcements forum in our forums in the members area. You know, we publish something called the K-Files, and if you're brand new, you don't know about it, it's our free weekly newsletter, and we'd like for you to be getting it, and I think you'll enjoy getting it as well. It's absolutely free, so go over to my website if you're not getting the K-Files. And right there where it says K-Files, right in the middle of your screen, click it and subscribe. And then you'll get an email with a confirmation link. Use that to activate your subscription, and you're good to go. People all around the world are tuned in to the Kevin Smith Show tonight, right now. And that is both why and how this show exists. Now, if you're the source of information, you're important to this show. And all of you are the source of information. You are the source of most of our topics. You are who suggests most of our guests. And sometimes, like tonight, you are the guest. Not too long ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, a member of the Kevin Smith Show members community suggested that we do a show where we interview listeners about their own encounters with the strange and unexplained. I thought that was a great idea, and so we've been doing just that. I started doing a series of shows that I call Real People. Well, tonight we'll talk with a lady who has a 5'2" iguana as a pet. Now, you might think that's strange, but that's not the whole story. There's more, and it really does get into the world of the strange and unexplained. The lady is Mona Ferguson, the iguana, Rodan. And in just a bit, we are going to be talking with Ramona. I would say Ramona and Rodan, but I doubt that Rodan will be talking with us. And even if she did, I doubt we could understand. So we'll be talking with Mona about Rodan and the encounter the two of them have had with the strange and the unexplained. Mona is out in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And as you might guess, it's desert out there and a good place for iguanas. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, your host. And tonight we are doing one of our series called Real People. I've already told you a bit about Mona Ferguson and Rodin. We're going to get to meet Mona, and she will introduce us to Rodin. And if you missed that first part of the show, well, Rodin is a 5'2" iguana, her pet. And we're not just going to be talking about having a 5'2" iguana as a pet, but something else. But first, I want to meet Mona and Rodin. Mona, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted you're with us this evening.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
Mona, you and Rodin are well known in the Phoenix area because of a lot of work that you do with charities around the area. And Rodin is, as I said, a 5'2" female iguana. Having an iguana as a pet is a little bit different. Having a 5'2" iguana is really different. How did you come to have Rodin and as a pet? And how long have you had Rodin as a pet?
Well, I've had Rodin for 13 years. Excuse me. And I bought her in somewhere in Pennsylvania. It was a small town in Pennsylvania. And I originally bought her for my brother, who's a truck driver, and he didn't want her, so I kept her. And when I first got her, she was about 3.5 inches long. Now, as you said, she is 5'2" long.
You know, I
had her for 13 years.
13 years. How long do iguanas live?
Well, I'm not really sure. From what I understand, they can live anywhere from 15 years to 32 years. And I'm assuming that's the way they're treated and the way they're handled and the way they're taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Are iguanas dangerous in any way?
Well, they are to little children, yes, because most iguanas carry salmonella in their mouth. And if they should bite a child or even an adult, as far as that goes, they can transfer the salmonella to the person. But Rodin doesn't carry it in her mouth. She carries it in her gut, but not in her mouth.
Why is that?
To be honest with you, Kevin, I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Rodin has been checked out by three different veterinarians, and she does not carry it in her mouth.
Do they? You mentioned bite. Are they prone to bite?
Yes, as a matter of fact, most of them are. And I will tell people right now, an iguana is not a very good pet to have. My owning Rodin was circumstantial, but most people should not buy an iguana. And I highly recommend not getting an iguana. If you're going to get a pet, get a puppy or a cat or something, not an iguana.
Has Rodin ever bitten you?
No, she has not, no.
Okay, now, in a little bit, I'm going to show some film clips of you and Rodin. And it looks in these film clips as though she's been trained to do some stuff, or is that just circumstantial?
No, I spent a lot of time with Rodin. I've had her since she was 3.5 inches long, and I don't know, I just fell in love with her, okay? I just fell in love with her, and I raised her just like most people raise a kid or a puppy or whatever, and I worked with her a lot and got her accustomed to being with people, around people, and in front of cameras and, you know, being photographed and things like that. And she's a good iguana. That's all I can say, you know?
Mm-hmm. Most people would be curious as to what do iguanas eat?
Rodin is a complete vegetarian. She's never had meat.
Okay, so she, when you say vegetarian, what are we talking about? Tomatoes and...
No, not tomatoes. Tomatoes are deadly to iguanas. She eats kale. She loves kale. Any type of green leafy vegetables except, there's certain kind of vegetables she can't eat, one being lettuce. It has no nutritional value for her. But her main staple is kale and bananas. She likes apples. She likes strawberries. She loves, believe it or not, tortillas, but that's only once in a great while. Just pretty much any type of vegetable you can think of.
But not tomatoes?
No, tomatoes are deadly to iguanas.
Wow. Okay. Now, I want people to get to know Rodan, and I'm going to show a little bit of a film clip here. But before I do that, let me ask you, why, since it's a female iguana, why did you name her Rodan instead of Rhonda?
Well, because I like the old Japanese movie clips of Rodan, and just there were the old Japanese movies.
Uh-huh.
And Rodan happened to be it was kind of like a flying lizard, and I don't know, I just love the name.
Okay. Let me say to those who are watching on our TV channel, you are, and look, if you're not watching on the TV channel, go to my website and scroll down. You'll see a picture about tonight's show. That's what's up on our screen on the TV channel. And what's up on the screen shows you and Rodan down in the lower right-hand corner. And then you see this reptile head sticking up over the hilltop there. Folks, that really is Rodan. That's a close-up of her face. That's really Rodan there. Okay, while we talk, we'll allow people to take a look at Rodan. Now, this film clip starts off with Rodan licking you on the cheek. Does that make you nervous at all?
Oh, not at all. That's giving kisses.
Mm-hmm. You said she does not have salmonella in her mouth, but it's in her gut. Is there ever any fear? Do you ever have any fear that it might make its way up to her mouth and then she might lick you with it?
No, I do not. No, not at all.
Now, she lives in the house with you, I assume. You have. We're watching her nod her head here, and she's got a sort of a pink collar on, sort of a pet collar. Mm-hmm. You take her for walks with a leash?
No, she takes me for walks. You don't walk an iguana, an iguana walks you.
Okay. So she can overpower you?
No, she can't overpower me. It's just that you can't actually train an iguana to walk with you.
Uh-huh.
You just kind of put them down, and the reason for the harness is because I don't want her to run away.
Uh-huh.
And I just follow her, and she just walks where she wants to, and I just follow her.
Well, in this film clip, the camera focuses on her, and then we see her nodding her head. Is that something she does quite often, or is she doing that for the camera?
She's pretty much doing it for the camera.
Uh-huh.
She's kind of a little camera hound.
Yeah.
She knows she's having her picture taken or she's getting attention. She will nod her head up and down.
Would you say that you've been able to train her more than you would be able to train most iguanas? Is she, like, just special that way?
Yes. Yes, I really do think that, yes.
Now, you use her, when I say use her, I mean you expose her to the public in behalf of charities. I think it may be even the film clip we're looking at, is you and Rodan were getting ready to do a walk for breast cancer, raising money for breast cancer.
Correct, Susan B. Coleman, yes.
Yeah, Susan B. Coleman, and,
mm-hmm.
Okay, how, when you show up at a charity and you've got this 5'2" lizard, which I think that's how most people would look at this, how do they respond to that? Are they scared of her?
Well, some people are a little bit afraid, but most people just think she's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And that's what attracts people to come and see her. You know, and they want to see her. They ask questions, and I answer every question for everybody. we hand out little dinosaur stickers, balloons, and pictures with people in Rodin.
Mm-hmm.
She just attracts attention.
And when you have her around other people, are you ever afraid that she might bite them?
No, never, no.
She's never bitten anybody?
Never, ever.
Wow. Now, do they have, what kind of teeth do they have? Do they have teeth, or is it just sort of like sandpaper, like in a fish's mouth?
She has teeth. She can snap a carrot in half, so she has teeth.
Okay, so she could take a finger off.
If she wanted to, but she's not like that, not because she was raised to be friendly, and she's been, you know, around people all of her life. She's done all this volunteer work for different organizations, and she's so used to people that she would rather have the attention and have people pet her than to bite them or retaliate against them. She just loves attention.
Uh-huh. Is it... now, with an iguana, is it really pretty difficult? You know, the care and feeding of iguanas, is that pretty difficult?
Yes, it is. And that's what, something I'd like to let people know, is that raising an iguana, you spend thousands of dollars on lighting. You have to be prepared for them to grow from 3.5 inches to 5'2", like Rodin is. You have to be able to provide a humongous cage for them, heating pads, heating stones, the, you know, special foods that they eat and things like that. So, yeah, it's very hard to raise an iguana.
If you had it to do over again, would you do it?
You bet I would, in a heartbeat.
Really? She's that special, huh?
She is my baby. I love her with all my heart. There have been articles written about Rodin and I, and they put on the top of the article, it was a front page thing up in Flagstaff. It said Arizona Mona and her most unusual companion. Rodin is my companion. We've just done a lot of things together, and I just love her. I, you know, most people fall in love with a dog or a cat or, you know, maybe a hamster or something like that. I just happen to fall in love with an iguana.
Well, fair enough. In the next part of the show, the next segment, we'll take a break here in a few minutes. And when we come back, we'll get into the really strange and unexplained. But let's talk about something that is really sort of strange. Folks, again, you know, you've got a cat, you've got a dog, and you think it's strange, you think it's very different that this lady you're hearing, Mona, has a 5'2" iguana. You think that's strange. What would you think if you arrived at church one Sunday and there was Mona and there was Rodin in church? What would you think? But that is, you go to church and Mona and you take Rodin with you, right?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
How have the people at church responded to that?
They just accept her. Nobody has really said anything bad. I don't know. They don't say anything bad. They accept it.
Now, do iguanas make any kind of a noise? Do they have any kind of a call they make?
They will hiss if they get really mad at you. They will open their mouth and make a hissing noise.
Mm-hmm.
But she's never done that. When we're in church, she doesn't even move. She sits on my lap. And I don't... The particular church I go to is... it's called St. Stephen's Byzantine Catholic Church.
Okay.
And they sit and stand a lot. I'm required not to sit and stand because Rodin's pretty heavy.
Uh-huh.
So I just sit. I just sit still. And she just sits on my lap.
And other people at church, that's just okay with them, huh?
Yes, pretty much, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there ever an occasion when you leave her at home and attend church without Rodin?
No.
No? So we have here a Christian iguana.
She's a Catholic iguana.
Okay. One other thing I want to explore with you before we get to this break. Most ladies I know, and that's half the world, but most of them, well, it's more than half, and most of them have this thing about reptiles. I mean, it's like, don't get that thing near me. I don't want to be near that reptile, that lizard, that snake, that whatever. I don't want to be near it. Did you ever in your life, ever, even when you were a little child, have that reaction?
Let me think here. With Rodan, I have had people come up and say, is that real? And I'll joke with them and say, no, she's not. Just being funny with them. And then they realize when she moves her head that, yes, she is real. And then they're just curious then. And I have had a couple people just back away and go, oh, my God, it's real, it's real.
Yeah, what about you, though? Have you ever said in your life, has there ever been a time when you said, I don't want to be around reptiles?
No. No.
Now, were you raised out in Arizona?
Pardon me?
Were you raised in Arizona?
No, I wasn't. No.
Well, you know, in Arizona, running into reptiles is not unusual because it's desert. And so there are reptiles everywhere. And you know, so it would not be, if you were raised there, it would not be too surprising for you to have no fear of reptiles. Where were you raised?
I was raised in Nebraska and California.
Well, there are reptiles in those places, but not quite like out in the desert. So what is it, do you think, that made you not afraid of reptiles?
I think it was because when I was growing up, I was kind of raised on a farm, and we had anything from ducks to pigs to horses. We had turtles, snapping turtles at that, which are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But there just has never really been a fear of any type of animal for me.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we have a break coming up, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back from this break, I mean, you've met Mona, and she's been introducing Rodan to you. And when we come back, we're going to get into something really strange and unexplained about Mona and Rodan. So you want to be sure that you are here and stay tuned for that. We'll be back.
Listening to the Kevin Smith Show, talk radio like nowhere else on earth, healing medicine for the mind.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking with Mona Ferguson this evening, and we are talking about Mona and Rodan being her 5'2" iguana. One additional question about Rodan, Mona, before we get into the really strange thing that has happened. How much does this iguana weigh? What is her weight?
Right now she weighs about probably 12 and a half, 13 pounds.
I looked up on the internet what is the largest iguana in the world, and it said 7 feet. Are you prepared for her to grow to 7 feet?
Oh, yes.
Might be a little difficult carrying her around at 7 feet.
I carry her around now.
Well, yeah. I would think at 7 feet, that would be several pounds more, and of course a much longer tail. What about, does an iguana ever whip someone with that tail?
Yes. As a matter of fact, if an iguana whips you with her tail or his tail, it can actually tear your skin. It's very, very dangerous if an iguana decides to whip you with the tail, but she's never done that.
Hmm. Okay. Now, I understand that there was some pretty strange stuff that happened with you and also with Rodan having to do with illness.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, last year in February, March, it was in April, she was really sick. She was really lethargic and didn't want to come out of her cage, wouldn't eat, wouldn't drink water, wouldn't go to the bathroom. And I thought maybe it was because she was egg-bound, and female iguanas get egg-bound, and if they do, they can die. So I decided to take her into a vet to have her spayed and to have the eggs taken out of her. Well, when I took her to the vet and they checked her, she had colonic fluid built up in her cavity, which made her belly extend really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so they drained it. And it was a brown colonic mixture of just, I don't even know what they called it. And they told me there was something else going on with Rodan besides being egg-bound. So they prescribed doxycycline and calcium and put her on, it's called critical care for herbivores. It's a liquid diet.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to get her strong so they could do an exploratory surgery with her. And I couldn't figure out why. I thought she just needed to be spayed. So anyway, so we spent a few weeks doing that, getting her built up and getting her stronger and feeding her the herbivore liquid diet by syringe. I had to feed her to her by syringe. And I took her back in to see the doctors at the Arizona Exotic Animal Hospital. And they did blood work on her and things, and they said that there was something else going on besides her being egg-bound. And do you want me to tell the whole story, Kevin?
Well, yeah. I want folks to know what happened.
Okay. So they said that there was something else going on, and they were telling me that whatever's going on is really bad, and they needed to do an exploratory to go in and maybe spay her and get the eggs out if that's what was wrong. So we built her strength up, and I took her in. That was on May 11th of last year for her exploratory surgery. So they went in, and I was in the waiting room, and they came back out, and they said that she has cancer. She has what's called, I have to try and pronounce it, it's called chromatophoroma, is what it was called, and the tumor was in her ovaries, and her ovaries were in an unusual position, and she also had it in her spleen, and she had signs of inflammation throughout her whole body cavity, including her liver. And after surgery, and they brought her out, they gave me pain medication for her, and they told me that there was pretty much nothing else they could really do for her. She was going to die. And they put her on, it's called a guarded state, which means she could die at any time. And like I said, they found out she had cancer. Well, we did their pain medication, and I was at the point where I was giving up hope on her because she was still lethargic and she wouldn't move out of her cage. I would hold her and her head would just fall back, and I was getting really scared that she was going to die. And I took her back to the doctors, to the Arizona Exotic Animal Hospital, and they said to prepare for her to die. And they said the best they could do was put her on prednisone, and they also had a person that would do treatments for her. And I forget, I'm looking in the paperwork here right now. They would put her on chemotherapy. But the prognosis for chemotherapy in a reptile has never, ever helped. No reptile that's ever received it has ever lived. And I told him, no, I wasn't going to let her be used as a guinea pig. And so I brought her home with her pain medication and just brought her home to die, pretty much. And I finally got to the point where I took her off of her pain medication because she was, I don't know, I just felt that she didn't need the pain medication. I just felt so bad for her because I felt like she was in so much pain, and I just wanted her to go ahead and die. And then I was watching Channel 10 news here in Phoenix one day, and I saw a special on there about a person by the name of Jerry Wills, who was a healer, and how he had healed, or he had diagnosed something that was had to do with the person he was talking to. It was to do with his brother. He saved the man's brother's life, and I was at that point where I was willing to try anything, because Rodan has done so much volunteer work throughout her life. It helped raise so much money for several different nonprofit organizations. I felt I had to do everything I could to help her. So I looked Jerry Wills up on the internet, and I found his phone number, and I called him, and I was crying, and I told him the whole situation, and we set up an appointment. So by then I'd already taken her off of all of her pain medication, and I was, like I said, I thought she was going to die at any time. She was so lethargic. So I put her in, she has a big carrying cage that goes in my van. I put her in that, and I went to see Jerry Wills. And on the way up there, she was just laying in her cage on her side, kind of. And I got there, and I knocked at the door, and this great big giant man, he's really, really tall, answered the door, and I said, "Hi, I'm Mona, and this is Rodan. I have an appointment with you. Can you please, you know, see Rodan?" And he brought me in. We went into a room, and I just automatically sat Rodan on his lap, and she was just kind of laying there. And I had my granddaughter with me, and we were sitting there watching Jerry as he put his hands on Rodan, and he was feeling her neck and her stomach, because I told him about the cancer. And he was concentrating on her, and I don't know, it must have went on, to be honest with you, I don't even know, maybe 30, 35, 40 minutes, and he was done, and I looked at Rodan, and she looked at me, and she started bobbing her head, you know, bobbing her head up and down, and I thought, wow, she hasn't done that in months, and then she started, like, crawling towards me, so I picked her up, and I put her blanket over her, and I told him thank you, and I carried her out to the van and put her in her carrying crate. And on the way there, she wouldn't move. On the way home, she wanted out of that crate. She was crying in the crate, and I thought, wow, that's the most that's the most she's moved around in months. So I get her home, and I put her in her cage, and she was slapping her cage with her hand. And I thought, okay, well, maybe she's thirsty. So I gave her water. She drank water, and then I let her alone just to see what she would do, and I was sitting there watching her, and she's slapping the cage with her hand again. And I thought, wow, this is crazy. And I thought, okay, maybe she's hungry. So I got her some food. She ate every bit of food that I put in her bowl, every bit of food. And then she wanted out of her cage, so I brought her out, and she was sitting on my lap, and she was, like, looking at me. She was just really active. She crawled up on the back of the couch. She bobbed her head. And I don't even know right now what I felt. I just felt that something special had taken place between her and Jerry Wills.
And all right, so now this is all in one afternoon, right?
This is in one afternoon, Kevin. One afternoon when I brought her home. But then right after that, she did get tired. I put her back in her cage, and I watched her the whole day. Her cage is in my living room, and it's a big, kind of like a big giant glass cage.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a giant glass coffin. And I watched her all day. She went to sleep, and the next day, the same thing. She wanted food. She wanted water. She wanted to be held. She wanted attention. She was bobbing her head. And I was thinking, oh, my God, something has happened. So anyway, so I took her off. They had her on that critical care, which was I had to feed her with a syringe.
Yeah.
She didn't want that. She did not even want that. She would, like, turn her head away, but she would eat all of her regular food. And she just continually got better and better. And I called her vet at the exotic animal hospital and told him what was going on. And he, of course, he didn't believe me. And I told him that I took her to see a healer, by the name of Jerry Wills, and they just thought I was crazy. But you know what? Let me tell you something else that happened. When he was holding her that day, I have what's called spinal stenosis, and I reached over to touch her head, and I said, "It's okay, baby, it's okay." Jerry Wills touched my right hand, and I felt an electrical shock go up my right arm. And like I said, I have spinal stenosis. My back healed that day also. And this is all documented by her vets and my doctor. And my doctor refuses to talk on camera because of privacy, something or another. But I have it in writing. It's sitting in front of me right now on my kitchen table. He healed my back without even trying, only by touching my hand. And he healed my iguana because I took her there to be healed, not me. I didn't care about me. And I could barely even carry her to his house.
What is spinal stenosis?
Spinal stenosis is where you have between your vertebrae, that cartilage, it just wears down.
Mm-hmm.
And it presses on your nerves, and you can get incontinence from it. You get the burning, and you just have weakness in your legs and in your lower back. And it's really bad in older people. And by the way, I'm 56 years old, and it was continually getting worse. They gave me a TENS unit, which puts electrical shock into my legs and things. But that day, he not only healed my iguana, he also healed my back.
Now you say this has been documented by your physician, by your doctor.
Yes, I have it. It's sitting right here in front of me. If I could understand everything that's written on here, I'd read it to you. And if you want me to, I will.
It's written in medical terms, right?
Exactly. Let me read a little bit of it to you. It says,
okay.
Can I read something to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it says, patient is very concerned that something has seriously changed as her symptoms are different and on the left this time. So that's just a small part of it. And there's like one, two, three, there's about four pages. And my doctor was so impressed that I'm sure that she is on Jerry Will's website as we speak. And I asked her, I said, has your body ever been known to heal itself? Can that happen? And she said, well, I don't know. I've heard of it happening, but I don't know about the spinal stenosis. And she said, however, your back is healed.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we shall return, ladies and gentlemen. I told you. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking with Mona Ferguson, and we are talking about this very interesting encounter with a strange and unexplained that happened to Mona and her pet, a 5'2" iguana named Rodan. Mona, as we went to break and the music was taking over, you said something that some people may have caught, some may not have, because the music was beginning to play. What you said was, your doctor said, and I quote, your back is healed. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. What did Rodan's doctor say?
Okay, well, this is the last consensus we had from her doctor was, The consensus opinion is that chemotherapy and radiation therapy may be tried but offer a poor prognosis. A further operation may be performed to remove the spleen and try to remove other affected tissues, but again, this outlook is poor. I discussed using prednisone since it is a component of treating many types of tumors, but you declined that today. Rodan is alive today. This was last April, okay? Her operation was on May 11th last year. They gave her a very poor prognosis. she is alive. The vet at the Arizona Exotic Animal Hospital is surprised that she's even alive. I went to a seminar the other night with Jerry Wills and took Rodan. And we were there from about 7 o'clock until, I'm going to say, around 10 o'clock. And he held her again, and he told me that she is doing fine. She's doing great. And she is. She's doing wonderful. Like I said, I didn't go there to heal me. I went there to heal her. I went to see him to heal her. And he not only healed her, but he also healed me. And I'm a grandma, okay, a stay-at-home grandma. I'm raising a 12-year-old granddaughter. And I was in a wheelchair at one point because my back was so bad. So my doctor, like I said, my doctor is so impressed with this, but she can't speak openly about it because of some type of privacy something. But I have it in writing. I do have it in writing.
All right. Now, you live in the Phoenix area, and Jerry at the time was living in the Phoenix area.
Mm-hmm.
He and his wife, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
And you had never heard of him till you saw something on television about him, right?
Right, right.
And did you, when you went over to Jerry's house, did you go there expecting really that this was going to work, or just kind of, this is a shot in the dark, but let's try it?
Let me put it this way. When you love something so much, you will try anything in your power to heal them or to help them. And that's kind of where I was at. And I wrote an article one time, and it says, do you believe? Because I do. I believe.
Oh.
And I had to believe. And we're living proof of it right now. Rodan is alive.
Are you aware of Jerry Will's story about his origins?
Pardon me?
Are you aware of Jerry Will's story about his origins, where he came from?
Well, a little bit, yes. But at that point, I was willing to try anything at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, no, I wasn't really aware of his past, his history, or anything like that. However, I did find out later on. But when I met him, I don't know if you've ever met him or not.
Oh, we're good friends. He is the associate host of this show.
Oh, okay. He's a big man. He's really tall. And I looked at him, and I just felt so much trust. I don't put my iguana on anybody's lap, okay? Much less will she sit still on somebody's lap like she did with him. And we recorded it, and she trusted him. And if she trusted him, I trusted him.
You recorded it how? With video?
Yes, with video, yes.
And you have that video?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, you and Jerry talk it out, and if you decide you can release that, I'd like to get a copy of it where I can put it in our members area.
Okay.
Okay. But you're right. Jerry is a big man. I'm 6 feet tall. Actually, I'm just over 6 feet. I'm just under 6'1". Just barely under 6'1". And I have to look up to Jerry. He is very tall. He's a big man.
I know. And he's I don't know, there's something very special about him. I cannot put my finger on it. And you know what, Kevin? I don't even want to try. I just know what he did for me and my beloved pet.
Uh-huh.
And I will forever be in his debt for that. And I will, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it, to be honest with you, Kevin. I just don't know. I only know what happened, and that's all I can tell you.
Well, there are people that write to me. There are people that call the show sometimes and ask me, you know, they'll say, well, we know that you know Jerry, so what do you really think about, I mean, is he really the real thing and all that? And all I can say is I know Jerry, and to my satisfaction, everything he's told me is true. And I can also say that I've talked to a number of people who, just like you, have told me that things that couldn't happen did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're looking at Mona and we're looking at Rodan on our screen. And, you know, this is, if it happened, it happened. Now, the video that we're looking at here, I assume, was taken before she had this problem with cancer. Is that right?
Yes, correct, yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you have video of her available now after being healed?
I have some, yes. It's kind of like on my little camera.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some. If you would like me to send some to you, I will.
I really would, and because I think it's just an amazing story. You know, here she was about to die, and they were telling you prepare for her to die, and that was in April. Now, is she as active now as we're seeing in this video?
Oh yeah, oh yes. If you get a chance to talk to Jerry, ask him about the other night when I went to his seminar and I took Rodan with me.
Uh huh.
And I took him off her lap and she threw a fit. And I know that sounds hard to believe that you would think an iguana would. Well, she has a personality, first off. You would have to understand that. And she wanted to go back on his lap.
Uh huh.
That's amazing in itself.
It was kind of like maybe she knew who fixed her.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what I feel too. And I don't know what else to say, Kevin, other than the fact that I think what Jerry did was, I don't know if you want to call it a miracle. I don't really care what anybody wants to call it, but in my heart, I believe in what he did. And he did, for me, he did a miracle.
Do you know how I became aware of Jerry? I became aware of Jerry. I had never heard of him, and I saw a news broadcast where a man was in a coma, and they had decided he was in, you know, a vegetative state.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife contacted Jerry and said, "Please come do what you can." And this guy had been in a coma for a long time. And Jerry walked into the room and a few minutes later walked out and said, "Your husband would like to talk to you."
Yes. I think that is on YouTube, by the way.
It is on YouTube now. And that is the first time I heard about Jerry Wills. And I contacted him and asked him to be on my show. And that's how we met. And today he's one of my best friends. And he's the associate host of this show. When I have to be away, he is the person who hosts this show.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I knew something was different long before Jerry told me about his origins. All right, folks, we have to step away, and we will be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. My sympathy to you for whatever caused you to miss that first hour. You have missed an absolutely, massively captivating story. It is the story of Mona Ferguson and her pet. Her pet is a 5-foot-2-inch long iguana, which is a lizard. It's a big lizard. And it's the story of both Mona and Rodan, this iguana, having been seriously ill and healed. Healed by someone our audience knows, Jerry Wills. Mona, what I would like to do now is I would like to open the telephone lines and invite our audience to join us. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you dial that into your telephone, it will transport you here to the Kevin Smith Show Starship. And if you are outside of the USA and outside of Canada, please feel free to use our flash message option on the website. Scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above that picture is the link that says flash message. To the telephone, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. Mona, first of all, I'd like to say that I've talked to Jerry Wills a couple times, and the only time that I really talked to him was when he was hosting the Kevin Smith Show, and that's the first time I got to know him. And he does seem like a remarkable person. My question to you, Mona, is, Roseanne, you said you take him to church and stuff. I'm sure there's other churchgoers that may have pets like dogs and stuff, or during your everyday experience come across other pets. How's the relationship between Roseanne and other pets?
Well, cats and dogs and things like that?
Yes.
Well, we have two dogs. I have a Chihuahua and a Rat Terrier, and they just get out of her way when she walks towards them.
How about strange dogs? You know, some would get real aggressive. You know what I'm saying? I've seen animals, as soon as I have a dog, I'll walk him, and some dogs come up and rub noses, and other ones growl at it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of dogs. My neighbors have dogs that come up and sniff her, and they sniff her, and then they jump back. Because they know she's a reptile, first off.
Uh-huh.
But she never has hurt any animal.
Yeah. She sounds like a very gentle animal.
Oh, she is.
My next question is, you said you recently went to one of Jerry Will's seminar.
Mm-hmm.
What was that seminar on?
It was just basically on him. I guess some of his background and things like that. And to be honest with you, sir, I don't know a whole lot about Jerry Will's. I only know what he did for me and my animal. Mm-hmm. You know, and I learned a lot the other night, though, by listening, you know, to different things that he's done, and it was pretty much just about him, you know, and where he came from, and people asked questions, and he answered every question. It was very relaxing. I'm sorry,
did
what?
Did he do any healing at those seminar?
Oh, my goodness, yes, he did.
And you would recommend this seminar to anybody?
Yes, I would. I would recommend that I don't know how people feel about things like this, but I would recommend to anybody to at least meet him and then draw your own conclusions as far as what you think of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Jerry and his wife are listening, I just want to say hello to them. And Kevin, you once again for another real interesting, real people show.
Okay, thank you, Jerome. And Jerry is listening tonight. I had a call from Jerry just before the show tonight, so he is listening. And we're glad all of you are listening all around the world. You see, folks, what you heard about here tonight, if I tell you the story, okay, I knew this story. If I tell you this story, you would think, well, okay, look, Smith isn't going to knowingly lie to us, but, you know, he's only telling what he heard somebody else say. Okay, that's fair enough. You're hearing it from someone it happened to. All right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I'm sure you probably read my first big blog.
I did. I read it.
Talk about Jerry for hours. He is a wonderful person and a gentle giant. However, he won't back down when he knows he's right.
You're right. That's exactly true. He does not back down when he knows he's right. And actually, there's no reason to.
No. But what I was going to tell Mona and Ronan, or what's the iguana's name?
Rodan.
Rodan. Jerry does not necessarily need you to believe anything. This is my opinion. He just needs you to suspend disbelief long enough to let him do what he does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. Yes.
And, well, that's just my comment, so.
Okay, Brent. Thank you. Jerry is not a faith healer. Okay? He's not a faith healer. There are people who absolutely do not have any belief in anything and are still healed. It's just incredible. It really is incredible. I mean, I told you the way I first got in touch with Jerry, the way I first knew about Jerry, was from a news broadcast about this man who was in a coma. So this guy is in a coma. He's not believing anything. He's in a coma. And Jerry went in, spent a few minutes with him, and when he came out, the man was conscious and ready to talk with his wife. And he's not a faith healer. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. The thing that's pretty strange about all of this, from my point of view, is that Jerry says that he is not from this planet. Now, there are people who, you know, they think that all extraterrestrials have to look like Rodan. But Rodan is definitely terrestrial. And extraterrestrials, I think, would look like however they look. I think it's very interesting when you talk with Jerry and hear his story about where he's from. But, do you know, his attitude about being from somewhere else, he said, well, it's just like being from Oklahoma. It's just another place. And it's no big deal. So until you went to this seminar, you didn't even know about that, did you?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised to hear him talk about not being from here?
Well, Kevin, let me put it this way. I don't really care where Jerry's from, but I do believe he's not from here.
Mm-hmm.
Now I believe that. I seen what he could do. I seen what he did with my iguana and what he did with me. And I'm just in total awe of that. So like I said, if he's from another planet, then that's fine with me.
Well, you know, long before Jerry ever told me, and he told me before he went on making it public everywhere. And he really doesn't make a big deal out of it, even when he tells it. But long before I knew, I had told my producer, if I ever met an extraterrestrial, it's that Jerry Wills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's long before Jerry had said anything to me about it. All right, let's go back to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello?
You're on the air. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Molly and I'm from Arizona.
Hello, Molly.
Yes, I had the pleasure of meeting Jerry Wills along with you, Kevin Smith.
Uh-huh.
And
I met you when I spoke down at Tucson.
Yes, and I drove down there on the spur of a moment, and to see you especially, I was so excited. But then it was like I got a surprise when I saw Jerry Wills walk in, and I was just so excited to meet both of you. But I do have an interesting story about Jerry Wills.
Okay.
I about 2 months ago, I had a dream with Jerry Wills. And the funny thing is that this dream started from the time that I put my head down to fall asleep, and in my dream, we're just having a conversation. This conversation lasted till the morning when I woke up. And in between, I woke up twice to use the restroom, and the minute I put my head down, the dream continued. And this happened 3 times in the last year. Now, I don't know what that means, but I know it means something.
All right, so let me ask you, can you remember, when you do wake up, can you remember what the conversation was about?
No, and the funny thing is, I'm not a sound sleeper, so each time this happens, it's like I feel drugged when I wake up. It's like I can barely make it to the bathroom, and I'm thinking, oh my God, me and Jerry Wills are having a conversation, and even getting up to use the restroom, it doesn't even interrupt it. And this has happened 3 times in the last year. First time happened like in January, and the 2 other times happened about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And twice it was back to back the following day. But the last 3rd one that it happened, he was wearing like a space suit. And that's all I remember. And it was white with black trimming. It was like he was wearing an outfit. And that was the 3rd time. But I can't remember the conversation. I just know we're having a conversation, and they last all night long.
Do you view this as positive or negative?
Actually, I see it very positive because, you know, I feel that sometimes, you know, in our sleep state, we're doing dimensional work, if that's what you want to call it.
Okay.
So I kind of feel in line with that because I do also do energy healing, and the energy healing that I've learned is actually a woman that lives in Sweden, and she was taught the healing modality when she was a little girl from ETs that would pick her up on a regular basis. And so I feel a kind of connection because of that, and I think it has something to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to go and see and listen to Jerry the other night in Phoenix?
Actually, I missed out on that. I didn't have the funds to do it, and now I just wanted to scream, you know, I should have done something, and I just feel so bad that I missed out on that. So, but I am a co-organizer of a meetup group here, a UFO meetup group, and we have asked Jerry Wells to possibly be a speaker, but we're trying to pin him down, so hopefully we'll be able to make arrangements for that. So we're really looking forward to that, if that's a possibility.
Yeah. Did you know he was in a rock band called UFO?
Yes, actually, I've seen a few of those videos. Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. I'm a real big fan of Jerry. I follow him. I'm on his newsletter. He is a wonderful person. He just vibrates just compassion. It's, you know, you could just see it. You could just feel it around him. He's just one powerful energy, you know. And, yes, I know he's for real. Just being around him, I know he's for real,
Do you know what is the sure sign that he is extraterrestrial?
Hmm.
What about you, Mona? Do you know? The sure sign. Let me tell you what it is. You go look at pictures of Jerry from 10 years ago and then look at pictures of Jerry today. Just look at that hair. Nobody but an extraterrestrial could keep all that hair.
Oh, that is so funny. And let me tell you, he is a very tall man.
Yeah, he is.
He is, Molly.
Yes, yes. And you know, but it fits him, though, you know, because he's, you know, he's big and always around. So, Okay, well, I want to thank you so much for listening to my little story, but, you know, I hadn't really told anybody about that, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but it did happen. So.
Well, why be embarrassed then?
I don't know. It's just a little embarrassing because it's kind of like off the wall, you know, and I don't tell too many people stories.
Oh, well, this show
is. You would understand.
This show is off the wall, so that's okay. This is
okay.
The place.
Well,
okay,
thank you.
Molly, thanks for the call. Yeah, I remember meeting Molly and her husband in Tucson. They drove down to hear. I was speaking in Tucson, and they drove down to hear me. I remember. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message if you wish. And you do that by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above that picture is the link, and the link says flash message. You just click that, and you can send me your question or comment that way. Because we understand that calling long distance internationally is... it can be pretty expensive. 623-444-5889, your opportunity to speak with one of our real people. Mona, let me ask you something, because I know you are a religious person. You go to church. Of course, I know you take Rodan with you, but you're in church. You go to church. So you've heard a lot about miracles before. Prior to meeting Jerry, had you ever had any personal experience, personally, with anything miraculous happening?
Not like this, no. Not like this. And Rodan has been to several different ministers, and they prayed for her. But I think they did it because they thought I was a crazy woman. But I, like I said, I wanted to take every opportunity that there was to have her healed. And nothing helped until she saw Jerry. And
would you believe Jerry told me after he had worked with Rodan the next day? I think it might have been the same day, but he told me. And I said, you worked with an iguana. I didn't know you worked with pets. And he kind of chuckled. He said, yes, I worked with an iguana, a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
you know, we have pictures of Jerry. We have a picture of him in Rodan's cage with her. And we have pictures of him actually all over in our house now. And it's not that I worship Jerry, but I believe in what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
What he did was in a certain way a miracle to me, and I don't care who believes me or who doesn't believe me. And yes, some of my neighbors think I'm a little wacko, but I really don't care, to be honest with you. I have my iguana and I'm walking, and that's all that matters to me.
Okay, let's talk about you for a minute, because the cartilage between the vertebrae in your spine had deteriorated. It's called spinal stenosis. And so let's talk about you for a minute. Your doctor says you're healed. Does that mean that the cartilage is now back?
Well, from what I understand, yes, because I had what's called degenerative disc disease of spine, and it's failed conservative therapy. They put me on pain medication. Let me see if I can find everything here on my paperwork. Oh, my goodness, they gave me several different types of medication. I can't find it right now, but it's in here somewhere. And I refused to take it because all it did was make me dizzy and sick. So, my doctor, and what? I don't know if I should give her name out or not.
No, let's don't do that. Not without her permission.
Okay, but I asked her if she would be willing to put it in her own writing, and she said, I can't do that, but I can give you some paperwork that says what has taken place so far.
Okay.
And that's what I have in front of me. So if anybody ever wants to see it, I will gladly send them a copy of it.
Now, you had gotten to where you were in a wheelchair at one point?
Yes, I was. I was in a wheelchair. I was using a TENS unit, which is what you hook to your legs, and it sends electrical impulses into your muscles.
Uh-huh.
There was one time where my back totally gave out, and I couldn't walk for 3 days. It was pretty bad, but let me tell you something. I can go up and down my stairs now with no problem. I can carry Rodin with no problem. I can go for walks with no problem. I get on a treadmill with no problem. So something that day, something miraculous happened as far as I'm concerned.
Now, you felt it when it happened, right?
Yes, I did. Yes. Oh, that was the crazy part about it. I would reach over and pet Rodin. I had a rosary, first off, around her neck. She has her own rosary. I put it around her neck as he was holding her, and I would reach over every once in a while and pet her head and just say, it's okay, baby, it's okay. Just calm down, it's okay. And his hand happened to touch my hand, and when it did, I felt like an electrical pulse go up my right arm, and I kind of pulled away a little fast, and I didn't think about it. And then I just continued petting her, and I felt these tingly things going up my arm, and that's how it happened. And I didn't know it until the next day. Because I was so concerned with Rodin, I wasn't thinking about me. Like I said, I barely walked from my van to his door with her. And the next day, it was just like there was nothing. And I called and made the appointment with the doctor and went in, and they did I think it's called an MRI.
Mm-hmm.
They did that, and she got the results back from it, called me in, and I told her about Jerry Wills, and she wrote his name down and everything, and she said, well, I need to tell you that your back is healed. But she wouldn't, you know, she didn't want to go on camera or anything like that saying that. I don't know why, but so that's pretty much how it happened.
Well, the reason most doctors will not do that is because the medical profession is so tied to the pharmaceutical profession and or the pharmaceutical industry, and the pharmaceuticals are doing everything they can to keep people sick so that they can keep selling you pills.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with that. The medications they gave me, here it is, Tramadol, muscle relaxers, Flexeril. I mean, they gave me several different types of pain medication, and none of them helped me. All it did was make me numb.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't mean I could walk, you know. So, and I don't take any of that stuff now. None. Absolutely nothing.
Well, I think that's a good thing. The rest of my comment we'll have to get to after this break, because we do have a break taking over. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Mona Ferguson from the Phoenix, Arizona area. Mona and her pet are well known in Phoenix. Mona and Rodin. Rodin is a 5'2" iguana. And even though the name is Rodin, Rodin is a she. All right, Mona. Let's go to the telephone and caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is John, and I'm calling from Rogers, Arkansas.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
Good.
This is kind of off the cuff. I was kind of listening to the show, and I don't get it where I go into the valley, but I'm calling in regards to. I've been seeing these lights in the sky, the northeast corner. They're starting around now, my area, about 10 o'clock. And there's six of them up there right now, and they've got blue and red flashing lights. And they're at different lengths, I guess, in the sky, farther away, and some are closer. Has anybody said anything about them?
No, we're not talking about UFOs this evening. But I'll tell you what, John, grab a camera, get some photographs or video of it, and when we do Open Line Live this week, send me those, and we'll put them on the air on the night we do Open Line Live, okay?
Right. Well, I appreciate it. But, I mean, if you know anybody who can look or check anything out, contact them, because it's pretty bizarre.
Okay. Well, perhaps there's someone listening right now that could do that. And, John, thank you for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. I will say, John, I got a call this afternoon from a lady out in California, not far from Los Angeles, who had seen some amazing UFO activity out there and was very excited about it. And she's supposed to be sending me a video clip of that, but so far it has not arrived. I hope she will send. She said she had footage of it, so I hope she will. All right, 623-444-5889 is the number. It's a magic number. If you enter those numbers in that order into your Universal Galactic Transport device, we normally call those telephones, it will transport you here to the bridge of the KSS Starship, and you may speak with me or you may speak with Mona. Unfortunately, you cannot speak with Rodan, but you certainly can speak with Rodan's friend, Mona. Now, you said that you attended Jerry Will's meeting in Phoenix just a few nights ago, and one of the callers asked, I believe it was Jerome from Pennsylvania who asked, if he did any healing at this meeting, and you said, oh, yes.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about what you saw happen.
Okay, there was a lady from northern Arizona who had something wrong with her shoulder, and she couldn't hug people, and she's the type of person that likes to hug people, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And she couldn't, and her shoulder hurt really bad. So Jerry spent a little bit of time with her. She was the first person that went up for him to heal. He spent a little bit of time with her, and he said, well, how does that feel now? And she said, well, I don't know, let's give it a try. So she gave him a hug, and she said, it's fine. It doesn't hurt. And she moved her arm around in a circle. It was healed. It was absolutely healed.
Did you see anybody else get healed?
Pardon me?
Did you see anyone else get healed?
Well, no, Rodan was the second one because I had to get her home to get her to bed.
Uh-huh.
But that was the first lady that went up there. Oh, I'm sorry, wait a minute. There was one other person, I'm sorry, who had, she had some type of cysts in her stomach, and he put his hand on her stomach and was feeling, you know, like around and asked her if his hand was too hot, and she said no, it was fine. And she felt better after that, but he prescribed some things to her, and I don't really recall what it was, that, and some things that she should do.
Uh-huh.
Somebody really needs to be there beside him to write down what he tells, you know, people that they really should do so that they can remember that. But I will not forget that first lady whose arm, she couldn't even move it.
Uh-huh.
And after he put his hands on her shoulder and did what he does, and I'm not going to question what he does, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
She was so happy. She was just so happy.
All right. Now, even though Jerry is a very good friend of mine, and Jerry and Kathy, very good friends of mine, I've never been to one of his meetings. And the reason is quite simple. I'm here at the microphone when he's doing a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I can't. I have to be here. So let me ask you this. These meetings are not, they're not like a religious meeting like you see when faith healers do their thing, right?
No, they're not. Not at all. It's a very laid-back situation. He talks, he makes jokes, he drinks his coffee, and he relates to everybody. Everybody just totally pays attention when he's talking because he's such an interesting person. You cannot take your eyes off of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's just his laid-back way of talking, and you just feel so relaxed. It's I don't even know how to explain it to you. You need to go to a meeting is what you need to do. You need to go to one of the seminars, Kevin.
Well, I wish I could. But
next time he has one, I'm going to videotape it for you and send it to you, okay?
Well, if he agrees.
Oh, that's right, if he agrees.
Yeah.
You really need to go see him.
Well, my work day is 20 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a joke. And I would work more if I need to work more. I would work more, but I do have to get at least 4 hours sleep every day. So I work 20 hours every day, and it's 7 days a week, and that pretty much keeps me from being able to go anywhere. It's been years since I've been to a movie. It's been years since I've been to any kind of a live sporting event.
Kevin, you need a break.
Oh, I get breaks. I take breaks. I get a break when I get up from my desk here and walk in to get a cup of coffee. So I get breaks.
That's quite a bit of dedication you have there, Kevin.
Well, I think it's important. And,
it is too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But everybody needs to get time for themselves.
Yeah, and truthfully, I do once in a while. It's rare, but I do once in a while. I'm in love with our audience. I absolutely love the people that are listening to this show. And I want to do the very best I can at every show. So it's a pleasure to me to do that work. But it means I don't get to go do a lot of other things. But I have seen, I told you that I was speaking in Tucson and had met Molly and her husband in Tucson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jerry came to hear me speak, and we somehow, I don't know if I invited him to come up and speak or if the people running the event invite, I don't remember, but he got up and spoke. And that's the only time I've heard Jerry speak publicly.
Really?
Yes, the only time I've heard him speak publicly, yeah.
He is a great speaker, and he holds your attention. Like I said, when he stands up there and talks, it's hard for you to even think of anything else. You just want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
Because he's such a magical, I don't even know if that's the right word. He's a mystical person, I guess. Maybe that's the word. And you're just so drawn to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about him, and I can't put my finger on it, and trust me, I've tried. You know, but what he's done for me and my animal, for Rodan, I will forever be in his debt for that. There's nobody else that could have done that for her. And for me to take her to somebody like that and to actually believe in it and to see it happen, it just changed my whole life. My whole life. And even people around me are in awe because they saw Rodan. They saw how bad she was. And they see her now, and it's just hard for them to believe she's still alive. And she's doing great. And it's all because of Jerry Wills.
Well, and Mona is alive and doing great. Got your back all healed and everything.
Hey, I'm not worried about Mona. I was worried about my iguana. I didn't go see him for me. Mm-hmm. I went to see him for Rodan. I just got lucky and picked up a little bit of extra energy from him that just kind of raced up my arm, and it did what it did.
What would you say if someone were to say to you, well, Mona, I mean, obviously the results are there, but it's something that happened just because this is all in your mind. There's nothing real about this. You made it up in your mind and you believed it, and that's what caused it to happen. What would you say?
No, but Kevin, you have to understand, I did not go to see Jerry for myself. I was, the last thing I was thinking of was my back. I was in pain, but I didn't care. My whole mind was geared towards having Rodin healed, and for some reason I had to take her to Jerry. I don't even know how to explain it. When I saw him on TV that day, I knew that I was going to have Rodin sitting in his lap sooner or later. I knew I would. And when I went there, I wasn't the concern. She was. I just happened to pick that up. And when I came home, I wasn't thinking about me. I just happened to notice I was walking around better. I had no pain. And then I remembered that tingle that went up my arm, and I thought it was just because I touched his hand. And you know how sometimes you meet somebody and you feel like, oh, my gosh, they're so important, and you don't want to touch them or you don't want to bother them. You just want them to do what they do. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But mm-hmm. that tingle that went up my arm, I thought about it. I went, wow. Maybe something else happened here, too. And that's why I called my doctor and set up the appointment and went in, and I actually asked her. And then I told her what happened. And she was in such awe. We sat there and talked for, I'm going to say, 25 minutes about this. And she said, well, whatever happened, your back is fine. It's fine. And, Kevin, I was ready to go on disability at that time.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I'm not questioning. How can I say, I don't even know how to say this. I didn't go there for me. I went there for Rodin. I just happened to draw the energy also. Because he does emit energy from his body. You can feel it. If you're ever in front of him, if you're in his presence, and I don't want to put him up on a pedestal, but if you're ever in his presence, you can feel that energy. Just look into his eyes. Look into his eyes. And you could feel it. That's all you have to do. And what happened to me was just an extra. It was like a benefit, I guess. I don't know. You tell me, Kevin. You tell me what happened.
Well, I think what happened is exactly as you've described. I think what happened, happened. And what that brings to mind something that I've mentioned on this show before, and that is there's a guy by the name of Boyd Bushman, and he used to be the head of the Lockheed Skunk Works. And very brilliant man, and he was being interviewed on film for a documentary and was asked about the work of a man named John Hutchinson, whom I know, and I consider him a friend. And he's sort of like a modern day Nikola Tesla. He's been able to do some things that physicists say can't be done. And I'll tell you the rest of the story when we come back. We will be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach this evening. That means we only have just a few minutes left in tonight's broadcast. And, you know, if you've been sitting on your fingers saying, well, you know, I really want to call, but I'm going to wait. Wait no more. Indecision. Well, there's no time left for it. Make up your mind. Make your call. 623-444-5889. Okay, Mona, I was telling a story about Boyd Bushman, and he was being interviewed, and he was asked, well, what do you think about the work of John Hutchinson? And he had positive things to say about it. The interviewer then says, well, a lot of people say his data doesn't make sense. Bushman said, data doesn't have to make sense. It just has to be accurate. And that's kind of how these situations are, like you've described with you and Rodin. Doesn't have to make sense. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever is, just is. And, you know, and really what other people think about it doesn't matter, because hey, Rodin is well, and so are you.
Exactly. And I've told people that. I don't care if they believe in Jerry Wills. I believe in Jerry Wills. Mm-hmm. I believe in him. And whether they do or not doesn't matter to me. I know what he did for my iguana. I know she's still alive. She was on her deathbed, and she's still alive. And I just so happened to pick up that little extra thing for my back, which wasn't even in the works. We didn't even, that wasn't even something we discussed at all.
That was, as we used to say in the South, that was just gravy.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to tell you something, Kevin. I really appreciate you letting me tell Rodin's story. Because I really do think Jerry Wills is a great man, and I think he can do great things. I really do think more people need to know about him. And that is my whole goal, is letting people know that he is. There's something about him. Like I said, I wish I could put my finger on it, but I can't. There is something about that man.
But you know something? Part of the something about him is he's not trying to build a big following either.
No, he's not. Exactly. He's not.
He just is sort of, well, here I am, this is what I am, and here's what I've got to say, and then when he's through, it's kind of been nice being with you this evening, folks, and hope to see you down the road.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is.
Like I said, the proof, how do you say that in the South, the proof is in the pudding?
No, that isn't how you say it.
How do you say it?
The proof is in the pudding. let's go to the telephone and take our final call for this evening. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Clay from Pea Ridge, Arkansas, and I live about 15 miles from where that guy called from.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be watching the skies.
Okay, Clay, thank you for the call. Did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Basically, there was lots of experiments done in Russia about energy and different things of healing energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my comment. You know, it doesn't always have to be people from outer space. People on this earth have that kind of energy. There's mm-hmm. energy all around us, even coming out of the earth.
Well, you're right, and as a matter of fact, that's what Jerry teaches people.
Mm-hmm. He does, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Well, I thought I would make these comments.
All right.
And
well, Clay, thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Bye, Clay.
I have heard what Jerry tells people because he's been my guest on the show, and so I'm familiar with what he tells people, and even though I haven't been in one of his seminars, I've heard him say it on the air, he says that people can learn to do what he does. And then I've talked with him personally, and he tells me, I've talked with people who have been to his seminars too, and they say that's what he teaches at the seminar, is that this is not some kind of special, magical, mystical power. It's something everyone has available to them if they know what to do and how to do. And I think that's important as well.
I think so, too. And he demonstrated that the other night, too. He showed us how we could put power in our palms of our hands and put it into your fingertips. I couldn't do it personally because I was holding Rodin. But when I got home, I tried it, and it worked.
You could feel it.
The heat. You could feel it in your hands, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he does say that. Everybody has that ability and that power. They just have to learn how to harness it. And evidently, he has harnessed it because whatever it is he does, it works. That's all I have to say. It works because I believe.
Well, I knew you were an enthusiast, very enthusiastic about Jerry Wills when you first sent me an email, and then we talked on the telephone. And I had tried several times to get you on the air. You didn't know about that, but we already had things scheduled. And so I couldn't get you worked in until right now. But you were very excited and enthusiastic about your experience with Jerry and what had happened with your iguana. And so I knew that you were going to be very enthusiastic on the air tonight. And you have not disappointed anybody. You have been very enthusiastic about what happened. And I think anybody could understand, you know. Your pet was about to die. The vet said it's over. Prepare for her to die. And she didn't die. And she's back to... would you say she's back to full health?
Oh, definitely. You should have seen her the other night. Yes, she is.
She's very, very active again, huh?
Very active. I wish I could put her paperwork in front of you. It's in front of me right now, but it would take almost 2 hours to read everything to you.
Mm-hmm.
And everything says grave condition, you know, expect the worst, grave condition, surgery, pain medication, everything. And she's not on any pain medication whatsoever at all. She's back 100%. So I wish everybody could see her.
Mm-hmm.
And is it okay if I tell people where they can see her at?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, all you have to do is Google Rodan and Mona, and it will take them to YouTube, and there's videos on there. There's a couple of videos, and I'll try to update those videos with Jerry Wills when he did the healing session with her.
Uh-huh.
But they just have to Google Rodan and Mona.
Okay. Well, and as a matter of fact, that's where I got the videos that I've been showing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got them from your page over at YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And I want to thank you for being with us here tonight.
I want to thank you for having us on, and I want to thank Jerry Wills. I hope he's listening. Thank you so much, Jerry, if you're listening.
Yeah, he's listening, I think. Because I'm pretty sure, because he called me before the show and we talked about it. If he's listening, on his iPhone, because he's in a place right now where there's no internet. So if he's listening, he's on his iPhone listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so to Jerry and Kathy, thank you.
You
made this story possible, and I know Mona has a different reason to thank you. You made the life of her pet possible. All right, Mona, if you will, just stay on the telephone with me for a moment as I bring the Starship in for a landing. All right, there you go, folks. Real people, real stuff. They're people just like you. Maybe you don't own an iguana, but they are people just like you. And they have experiences with the strange and the unexplained just like you have. We have some more real people stories coming up in the days and weeks ahead. Tomorrow night, if you have any interest at all in the lost continent of Mu, you want to be here tomorrow night. The great-great-grandson of James Churchward, Jack Churchward, will be here to talk about his research into James Churchward's theories and writings about Mu. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.